17, 18 years now of having my big brother in the faith, Dennis Kutzner, share, the overseer of CMI, the fellowship that we are part of. And so let's, as unto the Lord, stand and bless today our guest speaker, Dennis Kutzner.
Thank you. You may be seated. I feel like this is kind of the Reboyne reunion weekend. Leanne and Natalie didn't have to walk anywhere. They just stayed right there. Everybody hovered around them. I tell you what, it was great to see them face-to-face and hug them. And I really enjoy Instagram. I never knew Leanne was the comedian that she is. Any of you follow Leanne on Instagram? Well, you ought to. It's hilarious when she makes those funny faces and talks to you in that crazy voice. And I'm thinking, that's not the Leanne I thought I knew. And athletic. You girls will do anything, won't you? Yep. Almost. Okay. So great. What a great reunion and great time to be back. As Pastor Ron said, all these years that we've been coming, We literally look forward to it. I mean, it's on my calendar already for next year. And because we look forward in coming and being with you. You're so kind and generous as a church. You've supported Carol and I over these last few years since the changes came to our fellowship. And, of course, 2 years ago, more change came. And we've been addressing that. And over this last year, we've seen enormous growth in the fellowship. 2 years ago in October, our convention, we had a total of 45 people. That was all the registrations, and there were a few people that came in the evenings for some of the time of ministry. And then the next year, 2016, we started pushing ahead again with changes, and God blessed us, and we doubled. Instead of 45, we had 90. And this year, in our evening services, we had nearly 230 in the evening services at our convention, and our registration was up 211% from 2 years ago. Amen. So we had 150 pre-registrations. Now, I think God is smiling. I think God is saying through that, this is what I want. This is the direction I want us to go. And so we're thrilled with that. We are just thrilled with that kind of growth. We had a 20% growth in clergy membership, new clergy, and former clergy coming back to the fellowship. And we can't thank God enough for what He has done. This last year has been a great year of rebuilding as far as leadership goes. Of course, I appointed your pastor to serve on the Council of Overseers a year ago, reappointed him this year. And in our first meeting a few weeks ago, he was elected by the overseers to serve as our secretary, corporate secretary. So that says something about his leadership and about his involvement and participation in the fellowship, and, of course, yours as a local church. So thank you from Carol and I, our hearts on your support in prayer and your financial support to us every month. And every time we receive a check, I've always thanked God for that check. When I walk out of the post office and I have the envelope in my hand, all the way back home, I pray in the Holy Spirit, and I pray in English for victory. And I pray for Mexico, and I pray for many of you as individual names as you come across my heart and my mind. Carol, stand up and turn around. Be careful. Don't fall down. And greet everybody. Give them a smile. Thank you. All right. Can I encourage you and challenge you this Thanksgiving, when you gather together as a family, more than likely there will be children in your household. And if not, you're aware that there are many children in this household. This church has always been a church that has reached out to children and youth, and they are important. I have challenged our overseers to be in prayer for young people and children for all the right reasons, all of the attacks and all that the enemy attempts to thwart them with, as well as the fact that many children are not in churches anymore. Parents are staying home, and they're not going to church. And if they are, they're not actively involved with their children, their young people. You are, so I don't have to challenge you with that kind of ministry, but I want to challenge you today to pray on Thursday. Pray for the fellowship of CMI. If you think about it, 80 churches in the fellowship, and if the average size is around 100, that's 8,000 people worshiping this morning throughout the fellowship of CMI. And if every adult has two children, so if every two adults have two children, you do the math. That's a lot of kids. I believe they are our greatest resource for the future of world missions and the future of church planting, our own young people. And I refuse to let myself come to the place anymore to say, well, you know, God could call them to other things. Yes, He can. But I'm going to be aggressive. I'm out there recruiting and enlisting. And if I get a chance to talk to young people, that's what I say. Think about what God wants you to do. Amen. Open your heart up to Him. Because He's still calling young people into the ministry. Yes. Into the apostolic ministry. Into full-time ministry. Natalie's getting ready to leave for Albania. Where she's going to... Who would have thought that when she was a little girl? Would you have thought that? Her life experience was here. So you're to blame. You're responsible for some of that in her life. And I believe there's dozens more that God wants to speak to, and that we need to pray that their minds and their hearts will be open to the Lord and they'll be sensitive to the Lord. And during times of worship like this and in their atmosphere, that they'll hear from God. I was 15 when God called me to preach. I was 9 when I started thinking about what God wanted me to do, and it was another 6 years till I came to know Him as my personal Savior. But I was still aware of Him. I still prayed. So I don't care how old you are, you can hear from God. God can speak. In fact, as children and young people, they're really more sensitive to the voice of the Lord. And so you pray. You pray God will get a hold of them. You pray God will remove all the hindrances, and let's see what God does. Amen. All right, I know you brought a Bible, and I'm going to invite you to hold it up. If it's in your phone, hold your phone up. Good. Shake it a little bit. Say, thank you, Lord, for this book. I pray you'll help me hide it in my heart so I won't sin against you. Amen. All right, take it and turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark. Chapter 12, we're going to look at the last four verses of that chapter. You know this story. It's the story of Jesus observing a poor old widow. Although I guess it doesn't say she's old, it just says poor widow. During the offering, read it with me. I'm in the New King James Version, verse 1 of chapter 12 of Mark. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites. Which make a quadrants. Verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Lord, help us in this scripture to see what you want us to see and to receive what you want us to receive, so that, Lord, we will be better in our Christian testimony and witness, and certainly that our heart will be open to the more that you have for us. I want us to observe a few things here this morning in the text. And of course, we're talking about giving, aren't we, in this text. And all of this week, our emphasis is upon gratitude and what we are grateful for in this life. And there is much that we are grateful for. Regardless of our station or situation, there is much that we can be thankful to God for. And I pray that as you reach Thursday, that list will grow even longer, and that God will make you aware, if you'll be sensitive, God will make you aware of things that you weren't even aware of that you need to be thankful for. It may be a person. It may be something that you didn't want to look at and say, God used that in my life. Hit the nail on the head, didn't I, Patty? All right, so here's the first thing. Take notice that Jesus notices things. Jesus was observing action on the part of people who were coming into the house of God and going to one of the offering boxes. And here, the word that is used, casting or throwing their offerings into that box. So obviously, it couldn't have been a box with a slit that you could just drop a dollar bill in. It had to be a little larger than that so they could throw. And of course, they didn't have, during this time, they didn't have paper money. So it was coins that they were tossing. And it would make a lot of noise, wouldn't it, when they were doing that? And Jesus just happened to be seated near where all of this action was taking place, and he was observing. He was watching what was going on. Folks, Jesus is watching what we're doing all the time. He's observing where we are and what it is that we're doing, and we can be seated somewhere saying nothing, literally doing nothing, and he's still watching what we're doing. Because we're always doing something up here. Except for men when they're in their nothing box. Which some women would say is all the time. What are you doing? Nothing. Went out with the guys. What'd you guys talk about? Nothing. Okay, that's for tonight when you come back. We're talking about the five things that have kept our marriage together after 47 years. And we almost got a divorce after talking about the five things, but we're still together. And we'll do it in tandem tonight. So we'll see if Carol comes in with her everlast gloves on, you know. Okay. So verse 41, Jesus observed in what manner the people were giving. The word how here means in what manner. How do you give? When you give, do you do it grudgingly? Or do you do it willingly? Do you do it so that others can see you do it? Or do you do it quietly so that only the Lord sees you? Now, it tells us here, doesn't it, that the rich were giving abundantly. Isn't that the word, abundance? And then, so he got rich, and then he noticed a poor woman who was giving. So you can observe. Do you ever go people watching? Do you ever go to the mall and just have time to sit, guys? It's only men that sit at malls, right? And some malls have gotten smart, and they have now these beautiful lazy boy chairs you can set in and pull back. And it kind of reminds me of the dress shop that I went into one time with Carol, and she was shopping and looking for dresses, and, you know, I'm following along, and I'm doing my thing, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the store, I see this smoke coming up. I go, what is that? So I go over to where all these, you know, there's a big circle of dresses, and I push back the dresses, and there's four guys sitting there. They've popped their favorites open, and they got a charcoal grill going and grilling hot dogs. Okay, so it's not the truth, but you know what I mean. Stores have become more sensitive to men, and they got nice places you can sit, and that's when you observe. And man, you can see some really funny stuff, you know, if you observe people and you watch people, and then you think, is that what people see in me? Am I that funny? Am I that? What does God see? What is Jesus looking at? What, when he sees us and we do things up here in our head and he's watching what's going on, how do you think he's reacting? Do you think sometimes we're so stupid that we put him on the floor rolling? You think sometimes God looks down and he's going, oh, oh. Or other times that he looks and goes. So just remember everything that's going on and everywhere you're at and how you're reacting and how the manner in which you're responding to things. He's observing all of that. He's watching it. And we need to be more careful of what he sees. So how are you giving? When you give it in the offering here, are you giving out of your abundance or are you giving out of your poverty? Well, we'll look at that in a moment. Verse 41 says that they were casting their offerings into the offering basket or the offering box. The word here for cast or to throw means to let go. When you throw something, there's a moment when you let go, isn't it? And you know, you've played baseball, you know that there. If you let go too soon, it's not going to go where you want it to go. Or if you let go too late, it's not going to go where you want it to go. There have been a few times, and even in the major leagues, where pitchers have pitched and they've let go too soon and the ball just goes, you know, off of that direction. You got to let go, but you got to let go at the right time. Same with true in an offering box. If you were letting go of that offering, if you let go too soon, it dropped before you got there. So there's a little bit of timing here that's involved in the manner in which we give. And there are times that we are givers. We all know when we come to church on a Sunday like this, there'll be a moment when we're going to give, correct? We're going to give. Well, what manner are we giving? How are we giving our offering? Are we giving it freely and willfully and letting go? And can I give you more of this word? This word means to let go. Listen, let go not caring where it falls. What that literally means is you're giving it away and you're not concerned about how it's going to be used. There are people who don't give that way in the church. I know churches. I know churches today that people give in an effort to control. Control the preacher, control the board, control the action. You know, it used to be you could donate your offerings. The IRS is now saying that even though you donate your offering, the nonprofit is not required by law to do with it what you tell them to do. By releasing it, this is what the IRS says, by releasing that to that nonprofit, you're giving them permission to do with it what they feel best needs to be done. So say all what you want to about the IRS, but that's what this scripture says. You let go not knowing what will be done with it, but you're okay with that because you have let go of it. Do you have trouble letting go of things? Come on, you adults in the room, that your children grow up and you have to let go of them. Not easy. I've told the story here of letting our oldest daughter, who's now 46, so, wow, 30 years ago when she was 16, 17, she went to Washington, D.C. for the summer. She worked with the downtown IRS office building, and they were redesigning the building, and that's what she was studying, interior design, and she got a job using that, you know, skill with the IRS, redesigning offices. And she lived with a regional IRS lady who had a townhouse, and she had the basement of the downstairs of the townhouse, and we moved her in. And that's the first, Chrissy had traveled with us. She'd been with us for that 7 years before in ministry, and constantly we were together. And here I was dropping her off in Virginia, and she'd ride the subway down downtown Washington, D.C. every day. And she was happy about it. She was thrilled. And I was a basket case. When Carol said, let's pray with her, I was so emotional I couldn't even pray. And as we drove away, she's standing on the doorstep just smiling and waving goodbye. And all the way home from Washington, D.C., 10 hours of driving, I'm driving, and the whole way home, I'm doing this. Carol wakes up. She's sleeping. She's, you know, she's fine. Get one out of here. You know? And for 3 or 4 days at home, I could, every time I butter my toast, I start bawling. Finally, I sat down and took four pages front and back of legal paper, and I wrote Chrissy a letter. Got it all out. And God took care of it. I didn't want to let go. I didn't realize that I was using my oldest daughter as a support to my life. Folks, we got to let go of stuff. We got to let go of a lot of good stuff. Got to quit controlling, holding it too close. I say, God, it's yours anyway. Everything that we have is his. And he only asks for 10% of it. And some of us have trouble doing that. Can't live on it. Okay, now I know I'm meddling, right? But this is the scripture. Jesus is watching. Not just, he's not watching what we're giving, although he knows what it is. He wasn't so much concerned about what it was because quantity wasn't the issue here. Quality was. And we'll get to that in a moment. So he's watching us how we give in everything, in every way. And he knows that we have to cast it. We have to let go of it. That's why we put it in. You know, now we can give by text, and now we can give online, and we can make it a monthly payment. And that's wonderful, and that's all good, but it kind of takes away from that letting go, doesn't it? Every week. Every week when I put it in the offering and I let go and I say, God, this is to you. This is to your kingdom. And I'm trusting that it'll be used to bless. Notice it says in verse 42, the poor widow cast more in than all of the others. The word here, all, has two meanings. It means all, meaning each one. So Jesus had observed all of the rich people, each one of them, how much they were throwing in and how much more they were throwing in. But it also means collectively all. So when you put all of the people that Jesus saw, you can put them together collectively. And he is saying that this little widow, this poor widow, gave more in quality and proportionally than all of the other rich people added together. Jesus, when he does the math, he's looking at the quality of what it is that we're giving. Now, do we need more? Yes, and thank God for wealthy people that are blessing the kingdom of God. But primarily, it's people like you and me, the middle class, the upper crust, so to speak. We give what God has blessed us with as well as beyond that. You know, you really haven't given until you put more in than what your tithe is. Your tithe belongs to God. And Carol and I, in our 47 years of marriage, that's how we've treated our income. And it's not the net income, it's the gross income for us. Whatever our gross income is, that is our tithe to the Lord. 10% of that goes to the Lord. And that's always first. And when I say goes to the Lord, it's His to begin with. So I'm not going to keep it. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you kept the tithe and used it, you were supposed to give it back 20%. Do you know the Jews gave three tithes a year, not just one? If you were Jewish, you were tithing 30% of your income. Boy, it's quiet in here. Say, yeah, okay. I mean, I always paid 18 to 20% when I was paying taxes. Last year, we didn't have to pay any taxes. Didn't make enough. Now I'll hit 66 next month, and I can make all I want to. We'll see. God's concerned about the quality of what we're giving. What we have to give to Him. I'm not just talking about money. There's a lot that we possess that He's put within our hands as His stewards that we can give back to Him and through and in the church, as well as outside the church in our act of service. We can give to Him. Natalie's going to find out what it's like living in another country, another part of the world, where everything will be different, adjusting to the culture. And why is she going? Because God has called her, and because she wants to what? Give. Well, you know, you can do that right here in Mexico, Missouri. You can give. A couple of weeks ago, Carol and I were in a Starbucks in Indianapolis, minding our own business. And I've got my phone, and I'm reading a passage of Scripture for the day, seated in a nice, comfortable chair, having, you know, my cup of coffee, and not thinking anything about the Lord, really. And all of a sudden, my attention was drawn to a guy that was seated not far from us at a table. He had a couple of magazines he was looking at, a newspaper, had his coffee, and he'd gotten up and gotten something at the counter and brought it back and sat down. And all of a sudden, I had this little urge on the inside where I heard what I know is the voice of the Lord. And the voice said to me, that voice in my spirit said, you need to go to Him and tell Him I know about His troubles. I looked away and, you know, this is all going on in my head. I'm not having an out loud conversation. I'm saying, well, Lord, just tell Him you know about His troubles. What are His troubles? You know, wouldn't it be better, Lord, if I knew exactly what it was and I could say, you're going through blah, 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 and He'd go. Of course, I'm resisting a little bit. And this goes on for 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm saying, Lord, you got to show me a Scripture. You got to show me something in the Scripture. He took me to the Scripture that basically says, the Lord says, draw near to me because of your troubles and your difficulties, and I will be your source. And I said, well, I guess that's pretty clear. So when I got up to leave, he was still there, and I walked over to him and stood at the table where he was, and he looked up at me. I reached out my hand and I says, I know you don't know me. My name is Dennis. I couldn't help but be drawn to you in the last few minutes because I believe the Lord wanted me to tell you that He loves you and that He is aware. He knows the troubles and the difficulties you're going through right now. And as God is my witness, His eyes filled with tears. And I said, the Lord wants me to read this passage of Scripture. And I told him this passage, and I read that Scripture to him. And I says, I forget now what his first name was. I said, God led me to you this morning. I believe He sent me to this Starbucks this morning so His word could come to you and you would know He loves you today. And He says, I know He did. Now, I didn't do anything more. I wasn't led to pray with Him or to sit down and talk to Him, and we left. But I was so grateful that I was able to obey the Lord. Now, are you hearing me? You can be a missionary right where you are. I'm not suggesting that today or this week God's going to direct you to somebody like that, but He could. You could overhear a conversation, and you could overhear some problem that someone is facing. And it doesn't take the whole day. It just takes a moment to go over and say to them, God wants me to pray for you. And then you pray a prayer that takes 15, 20 seconds. It doesn't have to be a long, big prayer. You don't have to preach to them. Just share that simple nugget, that simple thought, and I'll guarantee you that's not happened too often with them. Chances are it's never happened. Whether they're a believer or not, whether they're attending church or not, that could be a key. And maybe a relationship will develop out of it. Something more will open up. So yeah, be thankful for what you've got, but be thankful God put you in Mexico, Missouri. Because there's people in Mexico, Missouri that need what you have. They need to hear that they're not forgotten, that God loves them, that God is observing them the same way He's observing you and me. He's watching them, and He cares. Verse 43 says, she gave more. And the word more, if you look it up in the Greek, it means greater in quality and superiority. That woman, to give two mites, according to whichever coinage definition you read, one mite was somewhere between an eighth to two-eighths of what we would think of as a penny. It wasn't even a whole cent. Two mites together wouldn't even be a whole cent or penny in our terminology of money. So it wasn't much, but when Jesus saw how she gave it and where it had come from, he uses this as a discipling moment. He brings those mentorees over and he says to them, look what I've just seen. Look what I've just observed. That little woman over there, all these others that were putting in and they were showing how rich they were, she's richer than they are. And she gave more than collectively what they gave. Because she didn't give out of abundance. She gave out of her poverty. And that's verse 44. The word abundance, do you know what it means here in the Greek? If we were to translate it literally, it says, the rich gave out of their leftover. Now, I'm not a wealthy man, but I do have abundance. Every month we have some money left over. You know, we're able to go and eat at Burger King once in a while. And God has helped us and taught us to give out of that as well as that which is already His, to always give more. So that when we're talking about 18 to 20% to the government, we've been always able to give 18 to 20% out of our income to the church. Almost a double tithe. Now, do you have less than you would have had if you wouldn't have done that? The honest to God truth is, I believe I've got more. Because you cannot outgive God. God will supply in ways that you wouldn't dream of, that He would bring it to you and make it happen. He may give you extra work and you get time and a half, or you get double time. You know, He may open another job to you that you didn't think you would have that supplies extra income. There was a couple in the church in Fort Wayne. She worked her entire life in a factory. And he was a wealthy man. He was a contractor. She didn't need to work, but she worked until she could retire from a factory, and every penny that she earned, that's what they wrote a check to for the church. So her entire job was to give money to the church. That woman is still alive, and she's one of our prayer intercessors for CMI Global. Knows how to pray. I think somebody been able to live her life like that, I think she knows how to get a hold of God and touch God. So out of the abundance, are you giving out of your leftovers? I'm not just talking money now. I'm talking about your time. You know, you'll give to the church your time if you have any left over. I'm very glad you came to church today. You're just having the most fun you've ever had. Pastor Ron, we need to take an offering after we get done here. The difference was they gave out of their leftovers. She, the interpretation here in the King James, is gave out of her want. And the word in the original language means poverty. And in some of the translations, it used that she gave her, not her leftover, she gave her entire livelihood. In other words, those two mites were the only coinage she had to her name. And she chose to give them in the offering to the house of God. And Jesus saw it. Jesus saw what a poor, you know, you think about it. If this was an open court where there were the men and the women, as a poor widow, she didn't walk through there like this. First of all, she was a woman. And secondly, she was poor and a widow. So she probably came in pretty unnoticed. I doubt very much that any of the wealthy people that had thrown in their offerings and had put in much did so in a way that people could see what they were doing. And they didn't even see this woman coming. They didn't take notice of what she did. But you know what? Even when it's the smallest thing that you can do in the eyes of God, He sees it and He knows when you're giving in that kind of a spirit and your attitude is right, He sees it and says, you've given more than even those who are wealthier and can give more. Because you gave out of a need that you have. We all have needs this morning. Every one of us in the room have a need of some sort. Can you give out of that need? Can you show your gratefulness and your thankfulness to the Lord by your giving spirit and your attitude of that giving? This week, are those times that you're called upon to serve? Do you respond with gratitude and with thankfulness that you have an opportunity to serve God and to minister to Him in that which you serve? I've had times when I haven't done so. I've had those times when the phone rang and I looked down and it was Pastor Ron Case and I said, oh, no. You know what I'm talking about. You didn't want to have to go out. You didn't want to have to do that. You didn't want to have to get up out of your comfortable state. You didn't want to have to it required you to sacrifice beyond. You didn't want to do it. But how much better have we felt when we've gotten up and we've put the coat on and we've gone out into the cold and we've done whatever it is that God has called us to do and we walk away. I don't know about you, but when I walk away from things like that, I usually get ministered to more than I think that I've ministered to someone else. When I walked out of that Starbucks, I was walking on air. Just by obeying the Lord, and all I had to see was the tears in His eyes and Him to say, I know He did. For that word to come into me and say, praise God, I obeyed. Do you still get that excited when you obey? And you know you've done the will of the Lord and you've done the right thing and you're going, yeah. And that energy surges within you. And you think, boy, the next time I'll respond a lot quicker. And hopefully you do. Oh, God, let me stay that young and that excited. That you are new every morning. That you want to do something new all the time. You want to do something that isn't even close to my radar. On the way out yesterday, I had a 50-minute conversation with one of our pastors. In fact, he's a member of the council, and he's the treasurer for our fellowship, Joshua Johnian. The Lord moved he and his wife away from Franklin, Tennessee, a year ago about this time, to Raleigh, North Carolina. And the primary reason for the move was because she was being offered a job that was better than what she had, and they just had to make that decision based upon that to move and to go to that situation. The job she had, they were beginning to close stores, and she was working at the store in Franklin, Tennessee, and that was the next store that was going to be closed. They knew it was going to happen within the year. So she was going to have to move anyway somewhere else if she stayed with that firm. And the Lord opened another door with another firm and company, and so she relocated. Well, in so doing, they had to say goodbye to the church that they had planted in Franklin. It wasn't a large church. It was barely covering any salary for Pastor Joshua. So they moved, and they were there. So they've been there almost 1 year. And he's put his resume out. I've talked to churches on his behalf. They'd call about my being a reference, but nothing opened up. So about 6 months ago, he started taking training for chaplaincy within the hospital system in Raleigh, North Carolina. And just this last 3 weeks, he'd been given a call. It was actually through a nurse. He was working as an assistant chaplain in one of the big hospitals. And one of the nurses there called him and said, there's another hospital that's opening up some positions for a chaplain. And he had taken enough classes and enough courses that he had earned what needed to be earned in certificate to be a full-fledged chaplain of a hospital. And so he went, put his name in, and they interviewed him, and I was one of the references. And just a week ago, I got the call and spoke to the lady, and before we hung up the phone, she says, we're looking forward to working with Joshua. And so I thought, well, sounds to me like they've made their mind up. And yesterday he was able to put up that, yes, he's taken the position as chaplain of one of the hospitals in Raleigh, North Carolina, through the University of North Carolina. And as we were talking, I said to him on the phone, I said, Joshua, when the Lord moved you to Raleigh, this idea of being a chaplain in a hospital wasn't on any of our radar, was it? He said, Dennis, it wasn't even on any agenda. It wasn't even on any file in the back room. The furthest thing from my mind that I would become a chaplain of a major hospital. God has plans for us, folks. He has destinations for us. We're on a journey. And that journey is going to take us to places that we wouldn't have ever thought about going. And I'm not talking about even leaving the town. There are places that God wants to take you here in Mexico as a missionary for you to talk Jesus to someone. You may be the first time they've ever heard someone testify of faith, and you're going to have the opportunity. I'm going to pray that prayer before I close, that God's going to give you, each of you, that opportunity. And if it scares you, good. You'll be on your toes, and you'll be praying and asking God. Lord, thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, for this passage, and for what you're speaking into my heart, and certainly what you're saying to us as a congregation. That you observe us. You're watching us. You see us where we go and what we do. You're listening in on our conversations. You're even listening in on what's going on in our own head. You're aware of our debates and our arguments and our confusion sometimes and our distractions, our disappointments, Lord, and defeats. You are aware of everything. And I'm grateful, Lord, for that you see me. You're watching me. You're caring for me. You're watching out for me. And that often you're directing my paths, Lord, when I least expect it. And in times when things happen that I have no control over, how you've used that to give me direction and give me insight and put me at a place at the right time where I could be the vessel and I could be the vehicle that you would use, that you would speak through me to touch someone. Not on a platform, Lord, not like this, but Lord, in a store and in a restaurant and just in a paying for gas and all of these kinds of scenarios that you have presented. The opportunity so often that you've given to us as we've sat at a table and ordered our meal and said to our waitress, what's your first name? We're going to pray in a moment of our food. What can we pray for you today? And Lord, you've been so good because never have we been turned down. There's always been a need, and we've always been able to pray for that need and see in that moment how you used that connection to touch both that person and to touch us. And Lord, I'm praying that every one of us in this room is going to have a similar experience out there this week where we're going to see someone. And maybe, Lord, it'll just be sitting at a light and someone walks across the street and you say to us, pray for them in the Spirit. Pray for them in the Spirit. And that, Lord, whatever it is that you're going to touch our heart with, that you want us to give, then, Lord, help us to be responsive immediately and obediently reply to your will. We give you thanks, Lord. I praise you for victory and for the people here and for this church and what they mean to the fellowship of CMI and how you've used them, Lord, to touch Carol and I and our ministry and assist us in being able to continue doing what we're doing and helping churches and pastors. And that, Lord, you've blessed them, that they've blessed the fellowship of CMI, and they're a reason, they're a part of the reason why you're using us again today. And I pray your blessing poured out on this church without measure. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the children and for the youth here that are being taught right now, that you're going to speak to them. You're going to use them as mouthpieces. Lord, even now, you're going to raise them up. Lord, you said in the last days you'd pour out your Spirit and young men would have visions and young women would prophesy, that, Lord, that prophetic Spirit would fall upon the children and the youth of this church, and that, Lord, they would be responsive to the call of God in their lives, and we would be careful as we let them go, Lord, as your instruments and your vehicles in the faith. We pray these, Lord, these things earnestly and sincerely in Jesus' name. And all the people said together, amen. God bless you.